Ms. Walston, let me know when we are recording.
Okay. All right, we are live.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Walston. We are now recording. Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Thursday morning, October 8th, 2020, 9 a.m. We have two items on the agenda. One is the CUP revocation for the Four Paw Fun Dog Training Center, matter number 07-49177. And the other agenda item is the Benham zoning variance, matter number 20-01758. In looking at the record for both of these, it would appear that the zoning variance matter will probably take less time than the CUP revocation request. So I am considering hearing the variance first and then moving to the revocation request. Are there any objections from anyone online to switching the agenda items? Okay, hearing no objections, I think we'll hear the variance first. So the order of procedure on this will be as follows, and I have reviewed the staff report and the accompanying exhibit, so I'm familiar with the proposal. The planning department will provide a summary of the proposal, and the applicant will have an opportunity to present, and then we'll open this up for public comment. Anyone who has called in or has signed in via the video link may provide testimony on the proposal. The applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions which arise during comment, and I may have questions. Planning department may have clarifications on the proposal. We are, of course, holding a remote hearing. That doesn't change how we proceed very much, except I would point out that if you can refrain from using the chat function, I don't review that, and no substantive evidence is admitted that way, other than if you have a technical difficulty or procedural question, then that's fine. And Ms. Walston will address any comments that come in that way. Otherwise, mm-hmm. For the most part, unless you're speaking or anticipate speaking soon, if you can keep yourself on mute, that would be appreciated. Are there any questions on procedure?
On that note, I did have a message from Tasha Santos, the planner for the zoning variance, and her applicants are expecting to be item B on the agenda. So I don't know if they are logged in yet. I don't know if that
are the applicants on the zoning variance, are they logged in at this point? That might be a reason to hold off on hearing that.
Let me check here. So for this is the attendee that's logged in as owner. Are you the owner for the Benham zoning variance, or are you appearing for the Four Paw hearing?
Are they unmuted, Ms.?
I think Cindy Moore, and I'm not sure. That would be me. Oh. It's the Four Paws. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're for the Four Paw. Okay. Yeah, we're just wondering if the applicant has signed in for the zoning variance, or because they thought this would be heard second, they're holding on signing in. Oh, Ms. Santos, I can see you're trying to, if you could unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hi, I'm sorry about the technical issue, but my applicants do not appear to be logged in, and I believe they're expecting to log in around 9:30.
All right, well, why don't we go ahead then, and we'll start with the Four Paw cup revocation request, and then we'll move to the variance. So the order procedure on the CUP revocation is a different type of matter, but the order will procedure will be much the same as what I described on variance. So I won't repeat all of that. And I have reviewed the staff report on that and some of the exhibits. I've skimmed through most of actually all of the exhibits on there. And then there was a PowerPoint and some public comments that came in this morning. I did take a quick look at that. Are there any questions on procedure for the CUP revocation? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to the staff presentation on that. Who is presenting for the planning department on this?
I believe it would be Laura Zippel. Laura, you are muted. There we go.
No, it's actually Scott and David.
Oh, all right then.
Move them back to, I realized they were, I saw them up there and then they left.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of switching around here, trying to move people back and forth. So I will go ahead and swap over Dave and Scott in just 1 second. Okay.
Okay.
All right, looks like we have our panelists on board. Mr. Diener, are you presenting for the planning department this morning?
Yes, and Dave Lynam is as well. Madam Hearing Examiner, I am not going to have my video camera active, if that's okay. I've got a couple of kids in school and...
It is fine to present that way. I do not have concerns with that. If you could, however, state your name for the record.
Scott Diener.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. I do have a brief presentation. It's a PowerPoint presentation. Amanda, if I could get that up on the screen.
Just to note, I did was able to print a copy of that this morning, so I have that. But I earlier received the exhibits marked 1 through 19, and then there were several public comments that came in this morning I took a quick look at.
Okay.
All right, give me just 1 second here.
Okay, does everybody see the first slide?
Yes, I can see that.
Okay. The slide
is... You can just let me know when to move through.
Oh, okay. You're going to transition for me, Amanda?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So I'll go ahead and begin. Today's hearing is about revocation of a conditional use permit, or CUP, approval that was given for a rural residential dog training business in 2008. It is being requested due to non-compliance with the approved CUP after several attempts by the county over a period of approximately 15 months to gain compliance with original conditions of approval. This current slide starts with a 10,000 foot perspective, if you will, using the county parcel search feature, which shows the subject parcel in South Kitsap, South Central Kitsap County, near county lines in Commissioner District 2. The next slide, slide 3, shows the parcel search mapping lines more clearly, and note that the access comes in from the southeast along here. The easement is not shown in parcel search. Slide 4 shows the parcel in 2012, and the value of this slide is because the imagery is our least vegetated or leafy, and it shows the site well, including the access in from the southeast here coming up. Note that the arena does not yet exist in this area here. Slide 5 shows imagery from 2019, and you can see the arena here. So beginning with slide 6, because the revocation is largely about the arena and what was constructed and what was not, Fire Marshal and Building and Fire Safety Division Manager David Lynam is first going to walk through pictures that were taken in September 2019 during an on-site visit with Tina Stafford and her attorney at the time.
Are we switching over to Mr. Lynam at this point? Should I swear him in?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Lynam. If you could state your name for the record.
Unmute first, please.
David Lynam.
Thank you. Good morning. You swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
This picture that we're looking at here is, and let me start by saying that we met out on site with Laura Zippel, myself, Tina Stafford, and Jane Kohler, who was at the time representing Ms. Stafford, to examine what the condition of the property was. I couldn't get the entire building in with the camera that I was using. So what this does, it's a photograph from the driveway looking approximately west, showing the south side of the easterly facing part of the building. Next slide, please.
And these photographs are from that site visit?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and when was the site visit?
That was on September 23rd.
Okay, last
2019.
2019, okay.
Yes. This picture shows the north end of the east exterior part of the building, showing the there's a large roll-up door. There is a porta-potty over there on the right-hand side, and you can see that the northern wall in the back is open. Where I'm moving the marker here shows that what's inside of the building. Next slide, please. This is the southern exposure, what I'm calling the southern exposure, and it shows that it's completely open along its southern side, and this is the side of the arena that faces towards the Moore property. The outside area is enclosed with a chain link fence. Next slide, please. Here's a view showing the west facing and part of the south facing view of the arena. Shows on this side that it continues to be open. The area surrounding the arena is enclosed with chain link fence. And this shows the roll-up door on the west side, and it's mostly enclosed. I don't know whether or not the roll-up door is installed, but you can see a piece of plywood across the back there that keeps the dogs on the inside. Next slide, please. This shows the back portion of the arena. What we're showing here, it looks like a tarp, I'm sorry, instead of a piece of plywood that's up across the back. It's a continuation of the previous photo. This is showing the north end of the western exposure. And again, you can see the enclosure here that has the chain link fence in it. Next slide, please. And back to you, Scott.
Okay. Thank you. So, as a summary statement, and to really kick things off, in 2008, Tina Stafford was given CUP approval with conditions to operate a dog training center called Four Paw Fun at 10680 Ridge Rim Trail Southeast, south of Port Orchard. The business utilized several trainers and the on-site arena, as well as adjacent grounds for dog classes. The classes were designed to get off-leash control for dogs and for focus and for agility. Conditions of approval of the CUP have not been met to date, despite several efforts, and DECD is seeking complete revocation of the CUP approval as allowed by Kitsap County Code 17.600.010, revocation for noncompliance with conditions, and Kitsap County Code 21.04.280, revocation of approval. By way of background, in late 2007, Tina Stafford provided a complete application for Four Paw Fun. The notice of application elicited concerns about noise from training, among other issues, which resulted in a State Environmental Policy Act mitigated determination of non-significance, or SEPA MDNS. The MDNS stipulated that long-term measures to control noise be required, and that ultimately final plan details may be conditioned through the hearing examiner review process. DCD notes that the final hearing examiner decision provided a specific condition to reduce noise by constructing an indoor arena. In 2015, the arena building was given building permit approval to be constructed as an unenclosed structure. Four Paw Fund submitted this due to concerns about the higher cost of fire protection and the desired lower cost of an unenclosed arena structure. Beginning in early 2019, DCD began to receive complaints from a neighboring property about noise from Four Paw Fund during training events. This prompted DCD to review and understand that while it permitted the unenclosed structure in 2015, it should only have permitted a structure that was in concert with the SEPA MDNS and also with the hearing examiner decision of approval, which was an enclosed structure. DCD understood that it could not unilaterally alter what was approved by the hearing examiner and through SEPA noise mitigation with a building permit that did not reflect requirements of the approved CUP. Four Paw Fund was sent a letter outlining the above concerns in July of 2019 and no response was received. This kicked off another letter and a series of emails that finally led to the September 2019 on-site meeting with Four Paw Fund and her counsel that Mr. Lynam reviewed. The on-site visit affirmed DCD's understanding of the issues. However, violations remain unabated and DCD proceeded with efforts toward a revocation hearing, which also included several continuances to allow resolution. In all, hearings were scheduled or continued in September, November, December of 2019, and January of 2020. However, on January 9th of 2020, under new Four Paw Fund counsel, a compliance agreement was signed and the January revocation hearing was withdrawn. Next slide, please. The agreement stipulated several conditions, but specifically permit application submittals for the enclosure of the arena and development of a secondary access to mitigate fire flow requirements. And the access in the enclosed arena were required to be consistent with the June 2008 site plan approved with the CUP. The required permit applications included applications for a building permit for the arena, a right-of-way permit, a road approach permit, and a site development activity permit for road grading. All permits were required to be submitted by January 30th of 2020. The agreement also had performance and timeframe stipulations for the applicant to be responsive to DCD's review requests for additional information on applications. Obtaining issue permits and also project duration for completion and time-specific inspection requests for these projects. The agreement authorized extensions to deadlines so long as an extension request was timely received and the DCD director found that tangible progress was being made. Next slide, please. On February 5th of 2020, a road approach permit or an RDAP application for secondary access of off of Verona Court was declared complete. On February 24th, 2020, an information request was sent to the applicant asking for clarity on the clearing limits, grading quantity, and tree volume to be removed, and that additional permit submittals would be needed. No response from the applicant was received, nor were any extension requests submitted. On June 2nd of 2020, David Lynam had a conversation with the applicant's contractor, which he can now recap for the hearing examiner.
Mr. Lynam, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'm going to move back over to my notes on that conversation. It was on June 2nd that I had a conversation with Richard Pryor. He had called the day before and asked through the CRM process that I give him a call back. We spoke for about 20 minutes on the phone. It was later in the afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon on June 2nd. Mr. Pryor said that he'd been working very diligently since February to put together something to make the project work. His understanding was that an SDAP is required based on the initial comments I got back from the application on the road approach. I reminded him there was a long time ago, and he explained that he had several false starts with a number of people and perhaps got some bad advice on what needed to be done. His real difficulty had been finding anybody who actually was able to do the work for him. Beginning in April, he started working with Kim May. Kim May was a previous employee of Kitsap County DCD to come up with some type of design that could work for the project. He said that Kim was putting something together and was ready to submit for us to have a look at it. We never saw what Kim May had prepared. Ms. Pryor said that some of this was on him because perhaps he didn't follow it as diligently as he could, and then he ran into the whole COVID-19 mess. By the time that the COVID-19 had hit in full force, we'd already passed the expiration dates for specific items to have been accomplished, and we didn't hear anything from Mr. Pryor. At least I did not prior to June 2nd. Pryor also stated that he had a meeting with county staff sometime in March and believed that Scott Diener had poked his head into the meeting and talked with staff otherwise about some things. And at one time, he was told that he could get by with a building permit minor. That may have been the case. He believes that Kim May also had some conversations with staff. I explained to him that Ms. Stafford was under a voluntary compliance agreement, that he had specific deadlines which had all expired. He said the real problem again was that he and Mrs. Stafford had a voluntary compliance agreement, had with a voluntary compliance agreement, is that it put strict timelines on them, but they could never depend on how long it would take them to accomplish them on their part. I reminded him that the agreement had said that staff would do the very best to get the reviews done once submitted, and tactfully said that we had never heard from anything. He had never asked for an extension, and that he needed to submit something along the way to give us a chance to do our part. I also reminded him that he and I had a conversation back in January when we met very briefly. He stopped by with some questions one day, but we'd had no conversations at that time. The key to keeping the project moving was for them, principally Ms. Stafford, because she's the one who signed the agreement, was to be able to demonstrate that they did all they could in good faith and communicate. We received no communication from Stafford or Mr. Pryor. He again said that he probably owned some of that, but he had notes and dates from times when he met with staff and what they said to him, and also he thought that Kim had some conversations as well. Our conversation ended pleasantly, and I said if he had any further information, he needed to send that in and remind him again that the voluntary compliance agreement had actually expired. I have another email from him that he sent in approximately 10 days later, where he had a timeline, and there was some confusion about which of that information was from him, which was his timeline with communication with staff, and which came from Mr. May. I asked for clarification and received no further comment from Mr. Pryor. And that concludes my testimony on this.
Thank you, Mr. Lynam. Mr. Diener?
Okay, next slide, please. So, you know, there was a period of where things kind of were silent, and this led to, on July 2nd, 2020, DCD and Tina Stafford and her counsel meeting for a pre-hearing conference with the hearing examiner to discuss an upcoming revocation hearing. Four Paw Fund requested to meet with DCD to discuss alternatives, but DCD did not hear from Tina nor counsel again about a meeting or the revocation hearing. On September 14th of 2020, the property was transferred by a statutory warranty deed to the current owners. DCD has had no recent contact with Tina Stafford. Next slide, please. As to the terms of the compliance agreement, section D.2, enforcement, advises that if the agreement is breached, the county may, among other provisions, elect to reinstate code enforcement processes, including the CUP revocation hearing process, which DCD is electing to do by this action. Kitsap County Code 17.600.010, revocation for noncompliance with conditions, reads in part, any master plan, performance-based development permit, administrative conditional use permit, hearing examiner conditional use permit, or variance granted in accordance with the terms of this title may be revoked if any of the conditions or terms of such permit or variance are violated, or if any law or ordinance is violated in connection therewith. Kitsap County Code 21.04.280A3, revocation of approval, reads in part that revocation may occur when the approval or permit granted is being or recently has been exercise contrary to the terms or conditions of such approval or permit. DCD believes it is demonstrated that Four Paw Fun has violated the terms of the 2008 CUP based on the just prior analysis and revocation criteria found in Kitsap County Code 17600 and 21.04.280 and unmet provisions of the compliance agreement. The Department of Community Development recommends and requests that Four Paw Fun be found in violation of the January 9, 2020 voluntary compliance agreement and that revocation of the Four Paw Fun CUP be granted as allowed in Kitsap County Code 17600 and 21.04.280. Next slide, please. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Diener. No, I do not have any questions. Just to clarify for the record, though, I have exhibits 1 through 19. I think we'll make the, Ms. Walston, we can change this number if need be, but I was going to make the PowerPoint exhibit 20, and then we had five public comments. Make those probably 21 through 26, and those documents are all admitted. Did I miss anything?
I don't believe that you missed anything, Madam Hearing Examiner.
Thank you, Mr. Diener. Anything else from the department at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay. Is the property owner and permit holder present?
I believe so. Just one second here. Mr. and or Mrs. Olcott?
This is Mrs. Olcott. I'm the current property owner.
Good morning. Ms. Olcott, could you state your name again for the record?
Paula May Olcott.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. How did you want to respond to the planning department's presentation this morning?
Well, we've owned the property less than 30 days. We mm-hmm. don't have possession of it.
You haven't moved on to it, you mean?
Correct. Ms. Stafford still lives there.
When will you be taking possession?
October 14th, 5 p.m.
Did you wish to continue this particular use, or what is your position with regard to this CUP?
Well, I do not have a dog training business. I plan on using the arena to train my own dogs and allow friends to come over to use it. That's the short term. Long term, I don't know yet.
So it sounds like it's not your intent to use this particular CUP for a business, but that it would just be for your own personal dogs. How many dogs do you have?
Two.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like there would not be an objection to CUP revocation from you.
No, I think if we wanted to start dog training business, we would start all over fresh.
Is there anything further that you wanted to add?
No.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, we'll open this up to public comment. Is there anyone who has called in or is online who wanted to provide comment this morning?
We have Ms. Moore. Just one second. All right, you should be all set to go, Ms. Moore.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Moore, if you could state your name again for the record.
Oh, Cindy Jo Moore.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And were these, I had received some public comments this morning. There were five, including two video links. Are those all from you?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. I wasn't able to open the video links, but I can sort that out with the examiner clerk later. So Ms. Moore, you may proceed. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I'm calling in today to provide my support to Kitsap County and DCD. And I'm going to try to do this, Your Honor, without emotion. However, I do want you to clearly understand that this has been an extreme emotional disturbance and nuisance to my family and my property. But I do want to lend my support and to DCD and just say that if this had not, the violations had not affected anyone or any neighboring properties, you know, I could understand, but because of the dramatic effect that this did have on the community and neighboring properties, you know, I appreciate your consideration of this very much, and I just wanted to thank all of you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. It's my understanding you live adjacent to the property, is that correct?
You, my property runs 458 feet down the entire, there's three easements, road that is used in adjacent to the property.
Okay, and what is your address?
It's 10700 Ridge Rim Trail, Southeast, sorry, Port Orchard, 98367.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Is there anyone else who had called in or is online who wished to provide testimony this morning? Okay, let the record, and Ms. Walston, I'm not hearing anyone.
We do have one, just 1 second, sorry. It's taking me a second here. There we go, we've got Mr. Bowden coming along.
Looks like the D. Bowden, looks like that that individual is muted either. There we go.
Hi, Madam Hearing Examiner, I apologize. My something happened to my internet just as you guys were wanting to talk to me. So I just wanted to make certain I represent.
Just 1 second. If you could state your name again for the record.
Bert D. Bowden.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
And just for the record, I represent Cindy Moore and her husband. The only thing that I wanted to do was to make certain that the exhibits that she had provided to Ms. Walston, which you identified that they have been admitted.
I believe she submitted five. One is titled Conclusion from Notice of Hearing Examiner Decision, and it's typed out. It's, I think, about four pages. Then there, it looks like there's animal control complaints. I think that's about 18 pages. There are two videos. There's a one page, it's just on four-paw fun dog training. And then there is a just a photograph, it looks like, from an iPhone that was provided into the record. So I believe those are the exhibits that were submitted, and yes, they have been admitted.
So I just want to make certain that those were admitted. And the other thing that I guess I wanted to make certain was, it sounded to me like the current owner of the property is not objecting to the revocation. I know that Ms. Moore had a significant number of additional comments that I think she was originally going to make. So her brief, very brief statement was, I think, in consideration of the fact that it looks like there's an agreement to the CUP. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, no, it's my understanding that there is no objection to permit revocation. And so that makes the matter very straightforward, I think, at this point. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Is there anyone else from the public who wanted to provide testimony this morning? Ms. Walston, I'm not hearing anyone, but do you see anyone on your side?
I do not.
Thank you. All right. So at this point, is there anything further from the planning department, Mr. Diener, Mr. Lynam? As I noted, it looks like the new property owner does not object to the revocation. But is there anything else?
None from DCD. Mr. Lynam?
Nothing for me. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. I should note, just because and normally you probably wouldn't need to on this one, but because this is a remote hearing due to the COVID-19 situation, just in case there's anyone who wanted to call in and was unable to do so, we've been keeping the record open on all of these matters for a week, which I think on this one would be longer than needed, but nevertheless, because that's in the temporary order that the examiner issued when we started the remote hearings, we'll keep the record open through, I think, Thursday, October 15th, 5 p.m. If there's anyone who wanted to submit anything else into the record, they may do so by that time. Provide those comments to Ms. Walston, and she will forward them on to me. Otherwise, I think we have completed this agenda item. Are there any procedural, and by the way, and a decision on this will be out, a written decision will be out within 10 business days at the close of the record. Are there any procedural questions from anyone on this? Okay. Hearing none,
we might have one more. Mr. Boughton, did you have a question?
Mr. Boughton?
Yeah, I just wanted to be certain. So the record is going to remain open until October 15th. For additional comments?
Yeah, if there's anything else that anyone wanted to submit into the record, yes, until the 15th. And again, I, as I've noted, this seems like this has become very straightforward and probably isn't needed, but that's in the emergency rule that I issued when the COVID-19 situation started. But certainly, if anything comes in that you felt the need to respond to and wanted to request that opportunity, please do so. I guess I'd be surprised if there's too much else that was added, but you never know.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay, thank you all for participating. Since we've concluded this matter, there's no need for anyone who's participated on this matter to stay online as we proceed to the next agenda item, although you are certainly welcome to do so. So the next agenda item is the Benham Zoning Variance, matter number 20-01758. The order of procedure on this will be the same as the previous agenda item, with Planning Department presenting, followed by the applicant, and then opening the matter up for public comment. Are there any procedural questions from anyone on the Benham Zoning Ordinance and the order of procedure on that? Okay. Hearing none, Ms. Santos, I believe you are presenting for the Planning Department, is that correct? Ms. Walston, if we can make sure Ms. Santos is unmuted.
Hi, yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Good morning. She can state your name for the record.
Latasha Santos.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. And just a note, I have reviewed the staff report on this, and the exhibits 1 through 28. I haven't reviewed the staff presentation, but through 27, which is the staff report. I assume you would like to admit all those exhibits.
Yes, please.
Oh, those are new.
Okay, good morning. Again, my name is Latasha Santos, planner with Kitsap County's Department of Community Development. And I'm before you today to present a zoning variance for the construction of a single family residence, which is located at 8828 Northeast Point No Point Road in Hansville, Washington. The subject site is located in North Kitsap, Commissioner District number one. Exhibit 26 is the county zoning map. The subject site is within the rural residential zoning district, shown in green. The site is surrounded primarily with other rural residential properties, as well as Kitsap County parkland, shown on the map in purple. An aerial map is included as Exhibit 21, and it shows that the adjacent rural residential properties are similarly developed with single family residences as well. Much of the parkland to the east and south remains undeveloped. The applicant is proposing a two-story stick-built single family residence. In February 2020, an administrative zoning variance was approved for a 3.5-foot reduction to the front setback. No appeals were filed, and the building permit was subsequently issued that same month. the single family residence is currently under construction. I want to highlight that recent history just to put the current variance request into context. An image of the site plan is shown here on slide 5 and illustrates the current proposal. The area is highlighted in blue. The area highlighted in blue is the footprint of the structure approved under those previous permits. And the scope of this new hearing or variance request is the area highlighted in red. It's basically a revision to the approved permits to allow a addition of a stairway, covered porch, and uncovered deck area. And this additional intrusion into the front setback is what's triggering a hearing examiner level variance, which I'll explain further. The site is subject to a 20-foot front setback. The applicant is requesting a 9.5-foot setback reduction, which equates to 47.5% of variance. Variance requests over 25% are type 3 applications and require hearing examiner approval as outlined in Kitsap County's Land Use and Development Procedures in Title 21 of Kitsap County Code. The conditions for granting a variance are outlined in KCC Chapter 17.560.010, and this section provides four criteria for granting a variance. First, is that the applicant must show that there are special circumstances applicable to the subject property that were not created by the applicant and don't generally apply to other properties. So this isn't a legal existing lot that does not meet the standard lot width, dimension, or area standards within the rural residential zone. And the lot has an average depth of approximately 60 feet versus the standard 140 feet. And the lot is further constrained by an existing easement along the northern property line shown on the assessor's map, which is included as exhibit number 23. These special circumstances were not created by the applicant. The second criteria for the variance is that the applicant must illustrate that it's necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right or use of the applicant possessed by others in the same zone or vicinity. And so due to the site constraints discussed in the previous slide, a setback variance is necessary to construct a reasonable size home on the lot. Single family development is an allowed use in the zone and other property owners share that same right. Adjacent property owners are subject to the same variance criteria and could be granted a variance if they show that they meet this criteria as well. Additionally, a map was submitted, included as Exhibit 14, showing two nearby homes that have similar setbacks. So an approved variance would not be out of character with the block's current development pattern. The third criteria is authorization of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or property in the vicinity. All development activity will be contained on site, and the authorization of this variance, the department found, is not materially detrimental. The impacts of this variance, if any, are really to the neighbors that share this access easement to the north, as the structure will be, if approved, will be closer to the easement. But there, even with the approved variance, adequate access remains, and the neighbors, all four neighbors who use this easement as their primary access, have submitted a letter in support of the variance.
I saw that. I think that's Exhibit 10.
Pardon me?
I noticed that. I think that's Exhibit 10 in the record.
Oh, okay. And then the last criteria is that the variance is the minimum necessary to grant relief to the applicant. So I mentioned that the project has already received approval for a 3.5-foot front yard variance, administratively approved. The additional variance requested, again, is for an elevated stairway, deck, and covered porch. So the critical areas map is included as Exhibit 25, shows the site is within a flood hazard zone. This is illustrated as blue horizontal lines. All new construction within this zone is required to be constructed to meet flood standards. So to meet those requirements, the structure's first finished floor is approximately 6 feet above the existing grade. And a normal concrete at-grade entrance wouldn't be feasible for this structure. Returning to the building elevations, you can see more clearly the porch area in question. It's a modest 6 foot wide entrance area. So in conclusion, the project was found to meet the criteria of the criteria of approval for a variance pursuant to chapter 17.560.010 of Kitsap County Code. It's consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with applicable codes and regulations, and compatible with the surrounding area. And staff recommends approval of the project with 8 conditions.
Thank you, Ms. Santos. I do not have any questions for you. Is the applicant online? Ms. Wilson, do you know if the applicant is?
I've got a hand raised, Mr. Russell, it looks like. You should be set to go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Mr. Russell, if you could state your name for the record.
My name is Kurt Russell.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department's summary of the request?
No. I think everything is in line with what we've requested for this project. The variance request came into effect, and I imagine you're probably all aware of this, is because we're the fifth house on this easement, which changed the setback from the property line to the actual easement line. And that's what created the necessary application for the variance.
And Mr. Russell, you represent the applicant, because the applicant and property owners are, it looks like Mr. and Ms. Benham?
Yes.
Okay. And does the applicant have any objection to the proposed staff report conditions? I believe there are 8.
I do not believe so. I think we've pretty well met everything already. We've got the geo reports done. The house is built about 7 foot, first floor above grade. Everything has been given to us that we needed to do to take care of this has been taken care of. We just need to submit the revision for the house plans itself.
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Yes, ma'am.
So at this point, we'll open this up to the public. Is there anyone who has called in or signed on via the web link who would like to provide testimony on this proposal?
Ms. Drummond, I have Mr. Benham up next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Benham, did you wish to add anything?
No, just wanted to support Tasha.
Let me go ahead and formally swear you in. If you could state your name again for the record.
Christopher James Benham.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Just wanted to support Tasha and the DCD and Kurt in helping us work through. This was a fairly complicated project. Property's been in my family for 53 years, and I guess I was the lucky one to take a stab at developing it. So we're really eager to hear the determination on this and then move forward with the completion of the project. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benham. Okay, so at this point, is there anything further from the applicant? Okay, so now we'll move to a public comment. Is there anyone who has signed in who would like to provide comment on this proposal?
I am not seeing any hands raised or any indication.
Okay, and I'm not hearing anything either. Let the record reflect that no one has indicated a wish to comment on the proposal. Ms. Santos, anything else?
Nothing further, thank you.
Okay, all right. So this proposal does seem to be straightforward. I do not have concerns with it, but because we're holding this remotely and due to the emergency rule about keeping the record open, I will keep the record open for a week through Thursday, October 15th, 5 p.m. If there is anyone who wanted to provide any additional comment, they need to do so by 5 p.m. and provide that to Ms. Woolston, and then she'll forward that on to me. And then my written decision will be out within 10 business days and will be provided to the applicant. Well, I'll provide it to Ms. Woolston. She'll provide it to the planning department and the applicant. Are there any procedural questions from any of the parties? Okay. All right, hearing none, we've addressed this morning's agenda items. Ms. Woolston, is there anything else that I need to address this morning?
I don't believe so. I think that covers everything we had.
Okay. Thank you all for your participation this morning. We are adjourned.
Thank you.